Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
The following is a Hoop Bowl presentation.
Here we go. Hoop Ballers! Welcome back to another episode of Today in Sports Betting. I'm your host, Devin Ellington, at DALE007 on Twitter. This is a hoop-ball.com presentation. Also, at Hoopball Gaming is where you will find everything in regards to this show. We got a really, really, really awesome show today. Really excited. Kind of hinted at it on Twitter earlier in the day. You know, we're recording this about noon, Central Standard, 1 Eastern. West Coast, I'm not too sure. That's too much math. But very excited. Second time this gentleman's been on the show. Really sharp mind. Really bright guy. Going to get right into it. But first, I want to talk about Manscaped real quick just because, you know, they're the show sponsor. Weed Whacker just came out and take care of all those needs for the ear hair, the nose hair. Like I always say, I'm pushing 30 now, so I understand it a whole lot more. And, you know, this product will help you with all that with anti-tugless technology. You go over there to manscaped.com, use promo code HOOPBALL20. And then you get free shipping and 20% off. And on top of that, really great products. I recommend the Complete Care Kit. It's got a little bit of everything in it. So check that out. Let them know we sent you. Use that promo code and go from there. Okay. It's going to be college basketball heavy. So if you guys don't want to listen to that, I would suggest saving your next HoopBall experience for Monday with Vince. But without further ado, I'm going to bring Jason Radowitz in. Jason, I don't know where to start. Saber, Docs, you know, your grad assistant stuff at Hartford. I don't want to spill the whole can of beans, so I'll let you go ahead, bud. He's at Jason Radowitz, Jason_Radowitz on Twitter. Jason, thanks again, bud.
I appreciate you having me. College basketball has been in my blood, you know, basically since I've been born, really. You know, like during the NCAA tournament, when I was in middle school, when I was in high school, I would make sure to miss class Thursdays and Fridays to watch March Madness with my friends, call out sick. And, you know, that kind of got me really into college basketball and loving the sport. It's just such a fun atmosphere. And obviously once we get fans back, it'll be even greater. But college basketball, it's such a great sport. And, you know, a lot of people say it's unpredictable, but I disagree. It's predictable because if you look at my stats in terms of betting, we're predicting on the right side more times than not. So that's the good part.
Absolutely. And, you know, we're going to talk a little bit about the conference of which you have experience in, and that's the MAAC. I talk about the MAC and the MAC. So I say on the podcast a lot, but I just love your insight. Like I said, we've interacted on Twitter. You're a really bright and nice guy, and I do appreciate all of your time, obviously. Like you said, your stats speak for themselves. You're kind of planted in, and planted can be maybe used as a bad term sometimes, so I'm in no offense, but you know, you are established in, you know, some of these prevalent and known, you know, bureaus, so to say, out there within the sports industry, real credible, you know, Docs. I remember, you know, Docs is like when the WWW first started, you know, the World Wide Web. They're a dial-up website, if memory serves me right.
Yeah, you got Docs, you got Sportsbook Review, and with Sportsbook Review, I'm doing the baseball show starting in April. That's where I kind of really kind of took off with my following, and you know, people paying attention to my work. It was really the baseball season, and so that we're gonna get started again going in, you know, in April. So sports don't stop, which is, you know, really great for the industry, especially if you know more than one sport, because that can really help you keep kind of growing your brand and your record and bring in secondary income and all that good stuff. So, you know, right after college basketball season's over, we got the baseball season. So lots of action.
I am so happy you brought up the baseball, because as you know, win totals just released. And I already know which one I'm looking at. I don't know if you've looked or if you got an opinion. I just want to throw it out there. I'm excited for baseball. Like you said, I remember, I thought you had a MLB, you know, backbone or like backstory as well. I remember you being very successful in it. And I'm so happy you brought it up. Pirates over 58, you know, that's just too low. There's not a lot of times in the MLB season where there's that much futility, that 60 to 62 mark. We see these crazy and outrageously low win totals for some bad teams, sure, but it's not a lot of times where we get a lot of teams, you know, winning less than 60 games or less than 62 games. So pitchers report very, very soon. And I cannot be more excited.
Yeah, you know, like the Colorado Rockies, for example, their number is set at 64.5. And I would say that there's more of a chance the Rockies do the worst in the MLB this season compared to the Pirates. So the Rockies, this is a team that didn't do anything in free agency whatsoever. They lost Nolan Arenado. It just seems like an absolute dumpster fire over there. They haven't really done anything to help their team. They definitely did a lot to hurt their team, losing Arenado. So I would think the Rockies have worse chance at getting 60 wins than Pittsburgh does. You know, you look at that NL Central, for example, the Cubs didn't get better. Obviously the Cardinals, they did get Arenado, but you know, the Brewers, I'm not sure if they got, you know, a heck of a lot better either. So the NL Central is really wide open. I'm not saying the Pirates are going to win the division, but there's no front runner in that Central division. And with that said, Pittsburgh can definitely win some games, especially in the Central, because there's no clear-cut team that's just going to destroy them every single game. And that might hold true, but just looking at these teams and their divisions, I think the Rockies are going to have a lot worse time this season.
Yeah, you know, and what I think is really awesome, and it just goes to show how easygoing and just insightful you truly are, Jason. We were swearing up and down, and we wanted to sign a decree that this show is going to be college basketball heavy. Now look at us doing deep dives on MLB win totals, and I'm about to throw some other stuff in the gamut. So yeah. You just hold on there, buddy, okay?
You got it.
NL AL division odds are out also. And I am just for the first time kind of unpacking this for myself also, you know, shame on me. But, you know, like we said, college basketball, it's in both of our bloods. How about the Mets plus 140 pre-flop? I don't know if you play pre-flop or do any kind of futures wagers. I mean, I think you do because you talk about win totals. But how about, you know, plus 140 for the Mets? Is that too diluted? Is there any value there? I mean, they're right there neck and neck with the Braves at plus 130. I could see either one of those two teams winning this division. the Mets got so much better in this offseason, obviously from top to bottom with new ownership. And look at all the pitching aces they just got compiled.
Yeah, you know, they just got Taijuan Walker for 2 years, 20 mil. And, you know, he'll fill the void, you know, until Syndergaard gets back. And, you know, once Syndergaard gets back, they'll have six, you know, solid pitchers that could, you know, pitch any single day. Maybe David Peterson, the lucky man, or not the lucky man, the guy that wouldn't be the starting pitcher, you know, once Syndergaard comes back. But yeah, they have so much talent on this team. Obviously, getting Francisco Lindor, I think that's one of the most underrated, you know, trades of the season so far, or the, you know, the offseason, because Lindor, he's a switch hitter. He reminds you a lot about Jose Reyes, and you know how great was Jose Reyes when he was a Met. In his prime, switch hitter, great shortstop, great fielder, lots of energy, really fun, really talented. I mean, that's all that Lindor is what Jose Reyes was. So it definitely excites you knowing Lindor is a Met. And, you know, obviously the Mets have Jacob DeGrom, the best pitcher in baseball. And, you know, I think the funniest stat of it all, and I don't know where most people stand with this, but if you look at career ERAs on the Mets, their entire starting rotations, all six players, they all have a better career ERA than Trevor Bauer. Trevor Bauer, of course, just signed a 3-year, $100 million deal with the Dodgers. And every single pitcher on the Mets has a better career ERA. It doesn't mean they're going to pitch better than Bauer. It just means that they've had sustained success throughout their careers more than Bauer. Is Bauer definitely turning a page or a chapter in his book? Yeah, of course he is. Bauer is not going to be bad at all. He'll pitch well, and he's got a lot of offense behind him, which will help his win total immensely. But the reality is, have a really good rotation, and their hitting is really terrific too. You go down that order, and you might see like Brandon Nimmo batting eighth. That's ridiculous.
Yeah,
you know, Nimmo is a stud. You know, he's able to get on the base paths rather easily in terms of walking, in terms of getting base hits, whatever the case might be. So we're still waiting to see if the DH is in play for the NL. If the DH is in play for the NL, the Mets are going to look a lot better, because then they could go Pete Alonso, they could put him at DH, put Dom Smith at first base, and then they can go to left field and get, you know, they can put whoever they really want there. They just got a couple bench players. They can put JD Davis there. They can do a whole lot there. So a lot of success will come from the Mets. And especially if they add that DH, yeah, I would play that.
Yeah. Some really great points and some personnel takes as well. What I really enjoy about the Mets team, well, like you said, Dom Smith, he's probably my favorite player on that Mets roster. Just the way he plays kind of reminds me of like a Fred McGriff. But, you know, just they're kind of, and I don't mean this in a bad way, but like lackadaisical, just kind of like, you know, they're kind of close to those late 80s Mets minus the cocaine and hard drugs. They're just like their philosophy, I think, you know, and I think it's kind of coming more to shape with this new ownership and moving on from the crazy amount of futility they've had. So I'm interested to see the Mets be good again. It's been, I mean, I was a young lad when the Mets were decent. So yeah. I haven't really seen it in my lifetime, so to say. But I wanted to ask one more, but I'm really anxious to get into college basketball. So we'll hold off on the divisional stuff. Of course, we can always get more takes at a later time. I wanted to ask you about some Indian stuff, but we'll save that. So last night, for college basketball, that was a pretty fun night. I think I looked and saw what happened with your stuff, and there's some really quality games, obviously. And you know, did you have how'd last night treat you?
Yeah, last night was great. I went 4-1. Iowa won first half. Southern Utah -3 in the first half. Eastern Washington -3.5 in the first half. Washington State -145 full game. And the one loss was Arizona UCLA over 64.5. But I lost that by 4 points. And UCLA went 0 of 10 from three in the first half. And that's what kind of lost it there, because they're averaging about, 36% from three. So all they had to do was make 2 out of 10 and would have won that bet. But it was still a solid day, 80%. Funny though, with Washington State, their best player, or really best two players, didn't play in that game. So when I locked in minus 145, it went down to like minus 115. And a lot of people were questioning, like, is that a good play now or whatever? I figured these guys would be out in the first place. And I was like, all right, it's still a steal at minus 145. And I had thought that, the odds makers kind of factored that in already, that Isaac Bonden wouldn't play for Washington State. And apparently when the news dropped that he wasn't playing, it dropped down to a minus 110. But, I already thought that they already had that kind of in the line. I thought Washington State would be like a minus 250 favorite. And, they ended up winning by 30 plus or whatever it was, 30 points or whatever, late night. So really fun, but really weird. I thought that the odds makers already had that in, and they didn't. So I got terrible value on it, but I still got good value on it in terms of my analytics. It was just kind of funny.
Yeah, and the market for college basketball has been doing some wildly weird things here recently. There's some odd things going on in today's card that I'm trying to sift through. And, for me personally last night, it was good for the Hoop Ballers as well. And we, between my free and, the wager pass plays, we had an 8-2 night, and Colorado couldn't pull through. I had them on the money line at plus 140. They looked decent, three quarters of the game.
They missed all the shots late.
Yeah, like the last 7 minutes. And then the turnovers, the stupid turnovers. They were just throwing ball into empty spaces of the court, just kind of bouncing it off of each other, stupid stuff like that. But, otherwise it was an enjoyable night of college basketball. Ohio State got down early, came back. Once they lost the lead and took it back again, they didn't, they shut the barn door on that one. And then, there's some other small schools. I was sweating Longwood. I had to watch them try to hit, seven of their last 10 free throws for me to feel comfortable about the cover. But that was a fun one also.
Yeah, like those mid-major conferences are kind of where, I'm finding some sweet spots. And like today I have three plays that I'm playing, and they're all mid-major games. And obviously Fridays we don't really get high major games, but we might get like some Atlantic 10 games, but really no high majors. They save all that kind of for Saturday. And of course, with all the snow in the South, we missed out on a ton of SEC and Big 12 games this week. So, having a little bit more intrigue in these mid-major conferences has done us well, and it's been fun. But definitely excited to get the SEC and the Big 12 and those games back, because I definitely missed those, and obviously we'll see them on Saturday.
Yeah, this weather kind of, it's good to see the postponements coming from weather versus the virus.
Yeah, yeah.
So I guess that's a bright side. But yeah, I'm pretty bummed. I missed out on the Texas Southern Jackson State game a couple days ago. I was looking forward to that one, but gotta move on. But one last tidbit from last night, and I just want to throw this out to you because you said you were on Southern Utah as well. Real nice, fun little team out there in the Valley. I think they're in their second or third year of D1 ball. Still pretty new. I threw a little Hail Mary parlay together last night. I never parlay. But I'm starting to pick a lot more straight up, because of making picks on Tally Site and other affiliates and whatnot. But Ohio State, had them on the card, and this is all money line. So Ohio State, BYU, Oregon State, Southern Utah, Colorado. And it was at plus 1295. So that Colorado game really stung me last night. I'm not bitter, but I can move on now. But for today's card Friday, you said you had some great mid-major stuff, and that's actually the title of the Friday episode. Usually when I talk about just about every college ball game, you know, I love the mid-major here. It's so fun. I've been looking forward to covering more of the Belle Armine basketball team, making the jump. And, you know, I'm getting into a lot of the Big West, you know, stuff for tonight. But you said you had some, so why don't you throw yours out first and I'll show you one of mine.
Yeah, so I've been really into first halves instead of full games. And, you know, a lot of people ask me why. And when you're looking at the stats, it all plays out kind of how expected. When you go to that second half, teams start to kind of slow down the tempo, or they'll up the tempo because they're losing, or you'll get a ton of fouls late in the game. And it kind of throws off all the analytics that you were already looking at. So if you have a team that's like a really up-tempo team and they're going up against, you know, another up-tempo team in the second half, the underdog is, you know, winning, they're going to slow it down a little bit. They're not going to go up-tempo anymore. So that kills the over. Or, you know, obviously if you have the under and you're doing really well, but then it's a close game and then they're starting to get some fouls or whatnot, it screws it all over in the second half. So I'm mainly a first half guy right now. And that's been treating me well because it's just more true to like the stats that I'm pointing out. So for example, today I'm on Georgia State -4.5 in the first half at -125. And Troy, they're one of the worst offenses in the nation. They're 334th in adjusted efficiency. They shoot just 43.7% effective field goal percentage. They turn the ball over at a ridiculous pace. They shoot 28% from three and just 44.7% inside the arc. But you have like Georgia State, they're a respectable offense. They got an effective field goal percentage of 50.3. They dominate the offensive glass. They'll be at home. They rarely turn the ball over and they get to the line at a solid pace. Of course, Georgia State, they will struggle from the line. They just shoot 31.1%, but they're going up against a Troy team that they just don't close out. Like, they don't defend the three-point line at all. Troy's allowing teams to shoot 37.1% from three. So I wouldn't be shocked if Georgia State starts shooting better from three than their average at home. That would just be the icing on the cake, because Georgia State, they're just really dominant inside. They're shooting 52.4% inside. The offense moves at a really fast pace. And obviously, if we're getting a fast-paced game, that means more possessions. Now, when you get more possessions, which team would you rather be on? That offense I just talked about in Troy, where I said they're the worst offense in the nation, or would you rather be on Georgia State at home in what would potentially be a two-possession spread in 20 minutes of action, where you get more possessions, more misses from Troy, and you get a lot better offense and easy makes inside from Georgia State. So I like Georgia State in this matchup in the first half. They are really, really good in the first half this season, especially at home. They're scoring 40.2 points in the first half on average at home this season. Troy's not even close to that. Troy, they're scoring 29.1 points in the first half. So that is a big margin. And even if you like go off the first half for home and away, Georgia State 36.3 points, Troy 29.8. So Troy still can't get that 30-point range, while Georgia State should be able to get at least 36. So I love this matchup for Georgia State, -4.5 in the first half at -125. So that's one of my official plays.
Sharing the official plays early. Thank you, Jason. So with that game, you know, I love getting insight and analysis from you, obviously. The full game, and I put this as a pick over on Tally Site, but I took the points with Troy. So I'd like to see that first half full game play out. Could be real fun. Nice sandwich there.
Yeah.
But speaking of other first half action, I actually only had one. But, you know, I did notice, you know, last night I was like looking through your stuff and I was like, man, yeah. Man, look at all these first halves and, you know, team totals and stuff. So I've actually been trying to look for more of that stuff myself, you know, kind of diversify what I've been looking at to kind of also further how I, you know, and maybe picturing a game script or what have you whenever I'm writing my write-ups and whatnot. So this Youngstown State IUPUI game, IUPI, that's usually what I say. But, you know, the first half, you know, just throwing basic, you know, black and white numbers out there as far as what they do in the first half. First half, 33.5 points scored in the first half, which is best for, you know, middling, like 154th in the country. But, you know, Youngstown State, the Penguins, they do play a little more loose, you know, coming out the gates. You know, their guards really, really love to run the tempo. 35.1 points allowed, which is, you know, 254th worst in the country for first half opponent points per game. So I'm looking at a team total over of where did I have that? You know, I just lost it. I think it was 31.5, 32. But anyways, I was looking at it and I was breaking it down a little for myself. And, you know, the success that IUPUI, gosh, I shouldn't have picked this game. That's going to kick my butt all topic. But, you know, they're a pretty balanced team, you know. Turnovers, they're not, you know, they're not garbage. They don't create a lot, but they also don't just willingly give it over. They're middling as far as irresponsible fouls. They're pretty fundamental. So, and once they get a couple threes to go down, they usually have some success. And they defend the three pretty well. For 64th best in the country with 6.3 threes made per game from their opponents. So really interesting to see if they can slow down some of the efficiency of Youngstown State and get a little of their own going. Right now they're almost 200th as far as effective field goal percentage, sitting right under 50%. So if they can get started early and get over that team total, over 34, I'm sorry, I was off by a couple. I knew I was, that's why I wanted to find it. Over 34, I'm looking at that because I think the game script flows a little nicely to the over also.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. Look, Youngstown State, they're terrible from three. So IUPUI definitely going to be able to defend the perimeter in that spot. And obviously Youngstown State on their defensive end, they've been terrible. Like you said, 328th in adjusted efficiency on defense. They allow an effective field goal percentage of 55.5%. They're allowing 36.5% from three, 55.9% inside. So things aren't good for Youngstown State especially on the defensive end. So there's definitely some room for IUPUI to score in this game for sure.
Yeah. Like I said, just a feeling about that IU, that Indiana-Purdue team. I'm not even going to try again. You know, I love those adjusted efficiencies and those number breakdowns. You know, that's always something that is an added element of a breakdown that just kind of spices it up a good amount. So let's transition into some Fairfield action because I've got them plus 5.5. I wanted to see if you thought this was a dumb or a sour bet or if there's some value into it.
Yeah, Fairfield, they're an interesting team, right? They're 333rd in KenPom right now. They're playing Canisius. And, look, Fairfield, they're a tough team to really look at. Their effective field goal percentage, really not good, 45.2%. So they're just scoring 30.2% from three, 306th in the nation. Inside, 45%, 311th in the nation. They might turn the ball over a little bit more than you might be used to seeing. It's tough with this team. They're either in or they're out. But on defense, they should be able to at least get some stops. Canisius isn't the best offense either. So maybe I would probably look at the under in this game. I'm not entirely sure what the under is. It's probably pretty low to begin with.
137.
I think I would go with the under there. You have two offenses that are shooting 313th and 323rd in effective field goal percentage. So I don't expect either team to really do well offensively. Now, you do have to note, though, Canisius, they are 84th in tempo in terms of offense. So they're looking to get up and down the court, which means added possessions. But then Fairfield, they are really slow, and they're playing at home. And if Fairfield can get the lead early, they'll definitely be able to slow the game down a little bit, and they'll work their half court out. But if they're trailing early, then they're going to have to kind of move a little bit faster, and that takes them out of rhythm and could be a disaster from there. Like, I don't expect Fairfield to get offensive rebound. I don't expect them to get to the foul line much. And even if they do get to the foul line, it wouldn't even matter because they're shooting 67.3% from the line. It's an interesting game. Canisius, they shoot a lot of threes, and they don't really make a ton of threes. So that's another thing to look at. And I don't think either team will really get second chances. So once they shoot and miss, it's more one and done than getting a second chance there. So interesting game, hard to analyze. Yeah, you never know what team you're going to get out of Fairfield.
Yeah, you know, as far as the MAAC goes, the MAC, typically an under league, lower tempos for the most part. Just real fundamental based offensive schemes. It's why I love the league, to be honest. It's one of my favorites. And I wanted to kind of expand on a little bit of Canisius' point here. I've noticed in their schedule, they've had so many interruptions. You know, they get a game in here, then they have to miss a few days, and then they get, you know, maybe a back-to-back here. You know, they're only 5-3 on the year, so they have less than 10 games. And the interruptions, you know, that's going to interrupt the chemistry and the flow of the offense, I believe. So to take your point and piggyback on it a little on the under, I think that's brilliant. And, actually kind of makes me like Fairfield maybe to – win this game outright, maybe do something crazy, but not an official play because, you know, here's the deal. It's a pretty bad Fairfield team. Canisius, obviously, the better quality of team. But this does seem like one of those MAAC games where the 5.5-point dog could win by 20. take an A out of it, and we'll transition to the MAC. I cannot get a read on this, Jason, so I was hoping maybe you had maybe some sort of take on it. I've been racking my brain. The rebounding on it's just absolutely nuts. But okay, it's Toledo and Buffalo. The rebounding, like I said, for Toledo, they're 313th in opponent offensive rebounds per game. They give up about 10 a game. And they're also down their leading rebounder AJ Adu. And, you know, Buffalo, one of the best rebounding teams in the country. But as I was thinking about this, you know, I was wondering, you know, is this one of those things that lines up perfectly for a statistical measure or a game script for a team or an advantageous point for them to attack another team and it just go the opposite way? So, you know, it's happened before for me and I'm sure other people. But the rebounding, I can't get over it and I can't place, you know, if this is going to go, it's a high total. It's 163. I can't place it, Jason.
Yeah. And, you know, Toledo and Buffalo, they both do really well defending the three.
Yeah.
So Buffalo, the teams are just shooting 26.9% against them. Toledo teams are just shooting 30.2%. Of course, we're going to see a lot of offensive rebounds in this game. But, I mean, you're relying on so much for the total to yet. You need both teams to score 80 points, like more than 80 points. Like that's just ridiculous. And we've seen, you know, these teams have their slumps here and there at times. And, like, neither team could have one slump in this game to reach that total. And, yes, I get it. Like, Buffalo, they're a really fast tempo team. They take 14.5 seconds per possession on offense. But Toledo is not the quickest. They're 148th in the nation. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I agree with this at all. I would, you know, if I had to choose, I'd take the under. But, like, so many things have to happen right for the over. It would just be nonsense. But if I had to pick a team in this game, I think I would go Buffalo. It's tough. Like, Buffalo, they like, how do you shoot well from the field and then not shoot well from the foul line? Like, it makes no sense. But I do think that Buffalo is obviously the better defensive team. And if they could defend well enough, they'll win this game because they're just as tall of an offense as Toledo is. Maybe Toledo's a little bit better, but the reality is I think Buffalo gets more offensive rebounds. So let's say Buffalo misses more from the field, they'll get more offensive rebounds and more second chances. So Buffalo better defense, Buffalo getting more second chances. I would think that Buffalo has a chance to win this game, but, like, let's say it comes down to foul shooting, well, then Toledo had the advantage. So definitely a game I would stay away from, but yeah, the over is ridiculous.
Yeah, it's on my holds. I was just, like I said, trying to make heads or tails of it. The guards for both teams rebound really well. The you know, balance of the Buffalo offense, they have three players scoring 15 points per game. Buffalo on defense, they got the advantage head-to-head with Toledo in offensive rebounds, defensive rebounds, blocks, steals, and opponent effective field goal percentage. So really weird MAC game. MAC really, really feels weird to me tonight overall and in general. And so the next game you want to throw one out, Jason? Like, do you have other ones that you're just rearing at the bit to maybe talk about?
Yeah, sure. So one of my other plays that I'm on today, I got Long Beach State -4 first half against Cal Poly. And Cal Poly, another atrocious offense. They're scoring an average, and they played 7 games on the road. They're scoring an average of 24.7 points in the first half on the road. This team, Cal Poly, they've only got to 70 points in 2 games this season. And the 2 games were against San Jose State and Cal State Northridge. Now, again, like, you know, like we talked about, Long Beach, they've had their absence, right, due to COVID. And, you know, they've only played, you know, so they had a game on January 9th. Then they played Cal Baptist on January 23rd. Then they had another layoff. And then they played UC Davis February 12th and February 13th, which were, you know, their last games on the schedule. And now they're playing Cal Poly. Now they lost to UC Davis by 2 each game. 1 game in overtime, 1 game in regulation. But UC Davis, they're a quality team. They're 221st in Ken Pom, they're a good squad. I think Long Beach definitely comes back at home a little bit more aggressive and a little bit more. They just play better, right? They got an effective field goal percentage of 50.9%, 137th in the nation. Yes, they turn the ball over a ton, but is Cal Poly really that big of a threat in terms of forcing turnovers? Not really. Offensive rebounding, yeah, Long Beach State doesn't do that too well, but Cal Poly doesn't do defensive rebound too well. So Long Beach State will probably end up finding some balls in their hands and for second chances. And what stands out to me for Long Beach State, they're coming back home, they shoot 37.6% from three. And Cal Poly, they're allowing 38.1% from three. Also Long Beach, they get to the line at a really solid rate. Seventh in the nation in free throw attempts to field goal attempts. So that's huge. They'll get to the line. Cal Poly will foul. They do foul above the league average. But then you go on the Cal Poly side and it's like atrocious. 90.5 adjusted efficiency on the offense, 345th in the nation. Effective field goal percentage, 42.9%, 342nd in the nation. Offensive rebounding, atrocious. Long Beach State, not better. Defensive rebounding, but again, the rebounding will kind of be neck and neck throughout the entire game. I wouldn't be worried about it either way. But obviously, if we're getting more shots, Long Beach State's going to score a heck of a lot more. They're going to the line more. And they're going to shoot better, obviously, from three. Cal Poly, 29.1% from three, 42.4% inside. That's just atrocious, 340th in the nation. And for threes, 320th in the nation, 29.1%, like I just said. So Cal Poly, again, struggling from the field, especially on the road in the first halves. They don't get off to good starts. And I think Long Beach kind of, this is the game where they have to kind of, you know, prove themselves a little bit. After losing two games to UC Davis by two each, they got to go out there and prove that they're still a quality team. They're still going to do something in the Big West. Obviously, they've had a ton of time off. But I think this is a game where they're going to be eager to get back and to win. And Cal Poly is that team that they need to sweep, and they need to sweep badly. They need to win by double digits in both these games. And they're not going to win by double digits if they're losing in the first half. So I like them to be aggressive in the first half, really shoot well from the field. And Cal Poly, I expect them to struggle from the field, especially they always do on the road in the first half. So I'm all over Long Beach State, -4 in the first half. Another official play for me.
Well, I absolutely locked it in as you were talking about it, because I was looking at that Cal Poly game, and I'm glad you brought it up. You know, that's the pleasures and benefits of having a smart mind like you on the show. You kind of just do my work for me. So two official plays from Jason Ravitz right there, Hoopballers. So again, remember, check them out at docspicks.com. And then you can also find them on, is it sbr.com? How do you guys have that domain set up, Jason?
Yeah, so it's a sports book review. I'm not sure if it goes through. I think it does.
I should have been more prepared.
No, so it's sportsbookreview.com. If you write sbr.com, it goes to Sunbelt Rentals. So you'll not get any information there. But if you go to Sportsbook Review, you'll get some information.
We can't help you out with any rentals. Well, actually, I can. If you're in the state of Oklahoma and you need some hardware rentals, that kind of stuff, I got you. So we were talking about, you know, the West Coast and, you know, some of those teams over there. You mentioned Cal State Northridge and their struggles amongst your points made about how Cal Poly is pretty terrible. I'm on Hawaii tonight, and this Hawaii team, I didn't realize this, but I broke down I looked into some of the numbers as far as their defensive metrics. 13th in the country as far as opponent assists to field goal made, and that's actually what Cal State Northridge does best. You know, they're 191st in the country at assists field goals made as a team. So look for Hawaii to squash that probably real quick and early. Also, they stifle opponent assists per game. So they're really good about keeping motion offenses in check and filling any passing lanes. And then also they are aggressive on the boards, 53rd in the country in total rebounds. And then they're top 100 as far as opponent points per game, allowing 68.2, squeaking in top 100 at 99th, but nonetheless, my point stands. And then they're just an overall even keel, efficient, balanced offense. I think they're just going to have death by a thousand cuts this Northridge team all night. And, you know, you're seeing a diluted line because Hawaii's lost two in a row and they looked pretty bad. But the two wins that they picked up before those losses were Cal Poly. You know, we can beat that dead horse again if we want. It's there. And then, you know, then they beat, I believe the third here, I got it written down somewhere, UC Irvine. You know, they got that UC Irvine win, which is, you know, always a decent look. Irvine's a decent program out in that conference. So looking for Hawaii to probably stretch this out to maybe a 7 or 8 point victory. I think that's truly what the line would be, in my opinion.
Yeah, you know, Hawaii, they're a terrific team, and they're definitely better than Cal State Northridge. You know, for me, it's just been always been a thing where it's like, Hawaii's on the road, I'm staying away. That's always kind of the way I look at things. But, no, I agree with what you said. I think Hawaii is the better team. If they were home, I would be like, yeah, this is an easy one. But just knowing they're on the road just kind of scares me off. But, you know, it doesn't matter. You know, if Hawaii wants to you know, make a name for themselves, if they want to help their ranking, if they want to do whatever, they got to win games on the road. And doesn't matter. You know, a lot of teams have had difficulties this season in terms of travel, in terms of back-to-backs. So we're not excusing Hawaii anymore. They got to win on the road, and this is a perfect spot for them to do it.
Well, I knew you were going to say that, Jason, and I've got their road splits right here. 3-1 ATS this year, 2-2 straight up. So they got a chance to get over 500.
Look at that.
So, and it's like you said, it's a great spot to do it. Northridge, this is a really rough squad to watch. Not very efficient, and just they don't really defend all that well. I'm excited to tell that Long Beach State first half bet, and then on top of that, I've got this other Big West action. So got all the conferences covered. No top 25 teams in play tonight, obviously, so we make do with what we got. But for people like us, we don't mind it at all. We get all of it in, so it's more than okay. Side tangent here, Jason, just throwing it out there. I can't remember how much you dig into football, but we actually got FCS football tonight, and I just wanted to acknowledge that. And we don't need to talk about it if you don't want to. I didn't prepare, but I just thought it was cool.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm an LSU fan in football, also Rutgers, but my girlfriend went to LSU, so I got to be an LSU fan without being, you know, whatever. But
yeah,
one of the teams in the FCS, I forget what team it was, but Ed Orgeron's son, it's actually one of the starting quarterbacks on one of the teams.
I do recall that, and I wish I remembered.
That's McNeese State. It's McNeese State.
That's right. Yeah, and they picked up the win in the FCS opener last week, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, they got a three-point win. I think it was Tarleton State against – I think it was against Tarleton State. But that was kind of fun to see that, but – yeah, there's no chance I'm putting any money on anything in the FCS. I don't know enough about it, and I don't really care enough about it because, you know, right now I'm invested in, you know, college basketball, and then I'll get ready for the MLB season. And there's also the KBO, the Korean Baseball League, that I destroyed in as well last year. But in college basketball, I know you said we went through every single conference. However, we didn't go through the Conference USA, and I have one play in there that I figured I'd give out quickly. FIU -1 in the first half at -121. FIU, they've been a dumpster fire lately, but they're playing against another dumpster fire in Southern Miss. Both teams have lost 11 straight games in non-D1 against non-D1 opponents. But I like FIU in the spot at home. They shoot a lot better from three at home. I think they're eighth in the nation in points scored from three at home, and they do a lot better at home from long range. And Southern Miss, they're 308th in offensive efficiency, shooting 46.9% effective field goal percentage. They turn the ball over at a rapid pace. FIU, they're aggressive, they'll get turnovers, on defense. So that means more possessions for them. And again, Southern Miss, 32.2% from three, 46.3% inside, terrible offense, like I said. And they'll struggle to get to the line. They'll struggle to get from rebounds. And FIU, they just shoot better. They'll be at home, 51.2% effective field goal percentage. They will turn the ball over as well. But again, Southern Miss are not that big of a threat when it comes to forcing turnovers. FIU shooting 33.2% from long range. But again, like I said, that will increase in this game. And they dominate inside as well, 52.6% from inside, which is 68th in the country. The FIU offense, it's slumped a little bit. And we're not really used to seeing that. We're used to seeing an FIU team at the fast, up-paced tempo that scores at will at home. We haven't seen that recently, but I do think they'll get back on track versus Southern Miss. And with that said, yeah, I like FIU. Minus one in the first half at minus 121. That is my other official play on the day in the Conference USA.
Look at that. Over there rhyming and being a poet and stuff. Did not plan that at all. Well, since you're talking about Conference USA, I'll just throw one more out there. This is, as a college basketball fan perspective, you know, I just really am looking forward to this game. But that's Old Dominion and UAB. I did take the 6.5 with Old Dominion. It's come down from the 7. You know, we got that hook of steam, sure. Over under 131.5. It's up a point from 130.5 in the opening bell. But UAB at home, you know, I'm about 98% sure they win this game. That defense is really good within the Conference USA. Old Dominion, feisty team, though. And I think this will be a very entertaining, close game. I think this is more of a maybe one possession game. And we got a couple of better than average defenses here in the Conference USA.
Yeah, you know, and quite a weekend the last week for UAB where they lost Louisiana Tech twice. And I mean, they were on the road for both those games, maybe faltering a little bit. So a little scary there if you're a UAB fan. Old Dominion coming off two solid wins versus Charlotte. You know, Charlotte's offense really not that impressive. And, you know, they showed that UAB, they got enough offense, like you said, to win this game. But, yeah, sure, it'll be a close game. And, you know, I think if Old Dominion can score 65 points, they'll cover. If not, then maybe they might struggle. But, you know, UAB didn't play their best basketball the last week. Does that carry on over into – this week, or do they get back on track? It's anybody's guess, and we'll see. It's an interesting look for sure. It'll definitely be a close game. I don't think this will be a blowout either way. But you know, UAB, can they come back from you know, sweep from last week and perform a little bit better? You know, we'll have to see.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of good action in a lot of different conferences. And got some dogs tonight that could be barking. Got some home dogs, road dogs, hot dogs. Some of these dogs are hot. And that one of them is Southern Alabama, winners of their last five, 4-1 ATS in their last five, going on the road. They're plus 105 in the Sun Belt, Fun Belt is what we like to call it. And, you know, I'm sure a lot of people do. But 5 o'clock on Friday, Fun Belt. You know, what more could you ask for? And it's Southern Alabama, the Jags going on the road to play Appalachian State. They're getting 2.5 points, but I actually like them on the money line. I took plus 105. And for some reason, it just spiked. I just checked, you know, again within the first 5 minutes. Well, heck, I might have to just double down. But obviously, seriously, though, just check and see why that spiked. But I saw it come down from 115. And I was kind of tracking it, and I told myself if it got to 105, I would take it. And so, yeah, huge spike back to 125, and now my point kind of looks a little more foolish. But anywho, I still like Southern Alabama. I looked into the metrics and the comparative stats, and I like the way they play. I like how they're playing right now. I'm not sure what's going on with this late action. These lines today have been just running me in circles today, Jason, to say the least. But, yeah, so, I mean, that's a kind of the last finishing thought of mine on the college basketball slate. I didn't know if you wanted to grace us with one more. you want to take some time to just plug all your work? I mean, this is your area right here, boss.
Yeah, so as you guys know, I'm a graduate assistant at the University of Hartford. Yesterday, we saw the UMBC play Vermont on ESPNU. That is the one game in the America East that gets to be played on ESPNU on, you know, national television once per year, and it was that game. But I just want to point out that Hartford was going to be playing Vermont in the America East Championship last year, and it should have been Hartford playing Vermont on national television, and they still put UMBC there. So I just want to call the America East out for that, and hopefully next year we get Hartford on national television, ESPNU in the America East. But yeah, that game was great yesterday, and that game is being played again today at 5 o'clock. Vermont playing UMBC. It's always a great matchup in the America East. Always, it's such a great conference, and you know, I think it gets a lot more respect, especially now with like UMBC being Virginia and just having Vermont being a really consistent team in the America East. So that's always fun. So if you want to check out a fun America East battle and check out another really great mid-major conference, definitely watch that game on ESPNU in a little bit. And, you know, I really kind of struggled in college basketball in December and January. And I got back with it in February. I'm having a really great month. And now I'm, you know, way in the green thanks to a great month. And that's for everyone out there. You know, it's not always going to be perfect, but you got to stay consistent. You got to stay disciplined. You can't be chasing. You need to just be smart with all your bets and try to just win a unit per day. That's my motto, try to win a unit per day. And if you win a unit per day, that's a lot of units for the entire year and a lot of money that will be made. But I like to remind everyone, we're not trying to get rich quick, you know, it's not a rich quick scheme. It's an everyday thing. And if you put that work in every single day and, you know, you just stay consistent, you stay disciplined, you don't do, you know, live bets and, you know, all that kind of stuff, you're going to be profitable no matter what. And that's what we're seeing now. You know, it was a terrible 2 months for me personally. I lost a lot of games by 0.5 points in basketball, which is just absurd. In January, I had 7 straight days where I lost at least one game by 0.5 points. It was the worst streak of my life. And, you know, it stinks, but don't change anything. Just monitor what you're doing, write down what you're doing, figure out what's working for you. And then, you know, as the season progresses, as more stats come about, you're going to be able to find your niche and your spots. And it's going to be a lot easier as you kind of go through it throughout the season. So like, for example, that's why I'm doing all these first halves. That's what's been profitable for me. That's what's been working for me. That's what I'm seeing well, and that's what I'm going to stick with. And definitely track your progress, track what you're doing, and you know, you'll start seeing success for sure.
Well, I appreciate those words, Jason, because, you know, I mean, I try to not to make it so individualized to myself, because I know as sports bettors and as people trying to make it in this industry, it's, you know, it's especially people like yourself, you know, and you and I, that we just dig and dig and dig, and we do it because we absolutely love it. And so it's a little more disheartening, you know, whenever runs and bad flows like that kind of tend to happen. So glad you're bouncing back out of it, man. I knew you would. And, you know, sharp minds can't really be dulled too much. You know, it just, it always prevails. And hey, heck of a shout out on that American East matchup, because, you know, and I told you my college basketball thoughts were done, and I apologize, but this is how it goes. see what you do. And then I love the UMBC bounce back right here. I'm actually on them at +135 tonight. You know, I've been looking for a lot of those close value dogs that are just getting, you know, I think kind of like what you said with your first half stuff. You know, this is something that I've started to notice within my methods and something I'm tracking a little more. And finding these, you know, matchups where it's like minuscule, you know, it's like 15 to 20 at most, spots in a ranking, but you know, the numbers just kind of are even, you know, they're just neck and neck. So UMBC, Vermont got round one. I expect UMBC to bounce back. They've played more games this year. So might sprinkle them into a fun little fun night somehow. Maybe 2-3-leg parlay. Like I said, I don't do it often, but been getting the itch a little lately. So, but Jason, I appreciate you again so much, man. The fact you made the time for this is meaningful, and I know the listeners are going to enjoy it. Again, at Jason_Radowitz on Twitter, Sportsbook Review, at Doc Sports Picks, you know, amongst other things. He's all over the place, including on this episode, which was awesome. So do not forget about the promo codes. I'm not going to beat the dead horse. Y'all know which ones I'm talking about. 5-star reviews are greatly appreciated. 1-star reviews are appreciated if there is constructive criticism attached. So that's our motto. You gotta give us something to go with. You can't just 1-star us for no reason. And if you 1-star this show today, this episode, that you're psycho. You're crazy. Jason Radowitz is on the show today, so that would be baloney. Jason, bud, I really appreciate it again, man. Any last parting thoughts for the listeners?
Yeah, I just want to thank you for having me on. Second time on the podcast, and it definitely won't be the last. I really appreciate it. And I want to wish you best of luck on all your bets as well. And thanks to everyone for listening.
Awesome, awesome. Well, we will leave it at that. Once again, listeners, I really appreciate you. And Jason, I appreciate you as well, bud. As always, I'm sending all of you my good vibes and all of my good energies. Let's go win some money, and let's have a fun Friday. Be safe.
This has been a Hoop Ball presentation.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.